Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
Thanks, Ronaldo. I think what we're going to now, actually, is we have time for, we have 20 minutes for a general discussion. So if you want to come back and join us, then, and so basically the idea here is for you to ask any question that addresses any number of the people who've spoken or simply make a statement disagreeing with all of us.
Actually, maybe one question about responsibility for the situation which we have right now in this segment what you presented. I think that all artists in the world are aware about the possibility you demonstrated here. But why they still decided to make deals with majors? So are they also responsible for situation what we have right now? For example, we are the webcasters too from Serbia, and we are suffering a lot of problems from the major side. They are asking for too much from us, prices for the streaming are too big. It is also the situation in the United States. Save the online radio, for example, is very active now in the United States. So what do you think about that problem, about the role of artists in this situation?
Basically, one of the things we found out in this research that is called actually Open Business Models Research, you can look for it online, is that the majority of these artists that are operating through this new model, if you can call it like that, which does not depend on exclusive rights, basically what happens is many of them have been offered deals with record labels. So for instance, Calypso band, that very popular one, the record labels, they approached Calypso and they said, we have a deal for you. And they said, no, we don't want to work with you because we can make more money without the record labels than if you work with you. So basically, this is becoming something that is very important. These scenes, they are becoming economically relevant. We have the economic data about them. And actually, they operate by completely different rules in which the role of the intermediary has changed completely, especially those intermediaries which work with exclusive rights and licensing. It's changing completely. Like, what is happening is that the artists are taking control over their music, so they are keeping their full copyright to what they create, and from there, they decide what is best for them. So, for instance, they give the music for free to the street vendors, but if someone else comes with a licensing deal to play the music on television or something else, they retain the copyright and they can license it in a different way. So it's a sort of a mixed model in which the most important thing is that it's not so much dependent on exclusive rights, and the second thing is that the artists retain the full copyright to their creations.
I believe that you are familiar with Radiohead decided to let their music for free on the web, and then they sold expensive CDs and boxes.
That's a very interesting question. I think the point here is that one of the characteristics of what we are seeing now is that there is this mix between a gift economy and a market economy, and actually those who are doing the better, or at least those who are showing new paths, are those who are knowing how to put together this gift economy and the market economy at the same time. And I think the reason for that to be successful is basically the fact that whenever you have a situation of instability, you have to operate by other elements which are not strictly economic elements. So basically, values like trust, collaboration, values like respect, values like give and give back, they become important again, and actually they become important also to keep and improve the efficiency of the economic system. So for a long time, the economists were basically thinking about the economy only from the market perspective, and more recently, they are also finding out that values like trust, reliability, mutual respect are also important for fostering the economic efficiency. So I think the Radiohead model is an excellent example of how do you put together this market economy and the gift economy, and you respect your fans, and you build trust with them, and that gives you back from the economic perspective as well.
Other questions?
Yeah, thanks very much for this example. I was 2 years ago inviting Claudio Prado to Vienna to tell us a little bit about this kind of economic, let's say, approach to the music business. But when I was organizing this discussion, there were also some big collective society representatives here, and they really said very clearly, this would never work in Europe or in the States. Because they said it's on the agenda of the collective societies that they do not, that they take some of the money earned by selling the big products, giving it to minority cultures. So what I watch here is that minority cultures stand on their own feet right here. So what do you think? Is there any possibility to transfer models like that into a Northern American or a European cultural environment? Because this is a very interesting thing. If this could be possible to exist side by side with the big collecting societies that really do not always fulfill what they are asked to, because we had lots of complaints of artists that they do not have any more access to their own work and do not have anything available and to rework or something like that. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think? Is there any possibility of a transfer or something like that of that model? I was trying to give some hints how to transfer, but it seemed really difficult because the partners in Europe are still lacking.
So just one comment on that. I think the answer is that actually that model already exists both in Europe and in the US. It's not visible, but I think it's actually very large. And that's a little bit of a paradox. So if you look at the use of both obvious kind of open licensing, like Creative Commons licenses, lots of bands putting their material out under Creative Commons licenses, who aren't doing it because they, you know, are believe in the commons inherently. They're doing it because they think it's a great way of promoting the touring and so forth. If you look at the use of Facebook, that probably what we've got now is a segregated world where we've got the music that goes on mass media, Clear Channel owned radio, TV. And then we've got music that is played live and music that is downloaded, and any kind of music that isn't on the playlists of the major channels. And so one of the things that's most interesting about that is if you look at the distribution of income, the average musician, the median musician in the US earned $40 directly from royalties from music in the course of a year. That's a professional musician. Per year, 40, in the course of 1 year. That's a professional musician, not somebody who just does it, you know, on the weekend. How do they make money? Well, it's not from royalties. It's through paying, being session musicians, being paid to be live. And, of course, the record companies can say, well, implicitly that's supported by the royalty streams, and that's true. It is connected. But if you actually look at the way the market really is, rather than the way it appears in the 50 to 500 artists who are perceived in the top part, then it's actually a much more complex artist. And if you took it in terms of music per hours listened, or music per terms of intensity of preference, or music per types of music, then the picture you would get of the landscape is completely different than the one that you describe. Well, Ronaldo may have his own answer in this, but I think there's a fundamental tension, which is that anyone who is going to be want to make their living out of music has to be profoundly unrealistic. Self-delusion is a career requirement. And for a vanishingly small number of those people, the self-delusion turns out to be true, namely the delusion that I can make my money being a rock star. Right, but the existence of the delusion does two things. One of them is really good and one of them is really bad. The really good thing is it gets somebody to take an amazing risk, to say, the hell with my nice safe job, I'm going to become a musician, and they enrich our culture. The bad thing is because they believe they're going to hit the lottery, they think, well, the only way I'm going to get to be Madonna is to sign with the big record label. And that's really like saying that my plan for saving for my retirement is to buy lottery tickets. I mean, it actually is. Technically, it's actually a worse deal than buying lottery tickets to save for your retirement in terms of the likelihood. But I think the question is, do we have a model of professional musicianship, and I believe in professional as well as pro-am, that includes the overt embrace of what Ronaldo was talking about as, this is what I dream of, rather than, I dream of being Madonna and my second best is, okay, I guess maybe I can do the techno brega scene. So that's my answer, I don't know. But I'd like maybe, can we have some questions addressing some of the other panel? We had some very interesting, we have David on truths. We have Jonah, who's offering you all free Wi-Fi if you just come to him after the panel. Or no free Wi-Fi, one or the other, depending on how he feels, whether it's the good Jonah or the bad Jonah. And we have Akma pointing out the connection between the control over print and the control over the spread of theological knowledge. So questions on those, perhaps, anyone? I think they all want lunch. Okay, well, on that note, thank you very much.